good. And I wondered, why do they always say God is good? So I decided to look up the word good in its original, and it means that God is always looking out for you so that you can enjoy the blessing that comes from him. So when you say God is good, you're really saying God is looking out for me. That's what good is. And so we praise God. Come and give the Lord a clap of praise if you would, even today. Wow. It is always a joy to bring God's word to you. And like I've said, many of you have heard this. I don't take this moment lightly. And we really thank God for his grace. I bring you greetings from my wife and children and from the bigger family of Watoto Church called Luboa. So please do receive it. I know some of you are here. I saw you. But the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. God is with you. We shall catch up with you next Sunday when you come to church. But God is really good. Well, we're in our family month. And we take time to just focus on the family, to teach on different aspects of family, to strengthen the blessedness of your family, to strengthen the relationships in your family, so that you and your family can enjoy the goodness of God, can enjoy the gift of family as God has allowed you to have. And in this season, we're really talking about the practices of blessed families. And we began by speaking about that which is very fundamental or foundational to any family living in the blessedness of God. And that is wholehearted devotion to him. And wholehearted devotion is expressed by your obedience to God's word. It is expressed by you living in prayer and fasting as a family, but also being generous in your lives. And last weekend, we spoke about yet another fundamental practice that contributes to the happiness and the joy in your family. And that is the fact that we walk in obedience. And that walking in obedience is walking in forgiveness. I believe walking in forgiveness is an expression of your walking in obedience to God. And I'm glad that we've talked about growing kids God's way. So please sign up and become better parents, better guardians, so you can continue to enjoy the blessedness in your family. But today I want to pick up yet on another subject, on another practice, on another principle that I know has been at the root, not having not done it, has been at the root of a lot of pain and brokenness in our families. So I want to flip that today and speak about sexual purity. Blessed families practice sexual purity. Hallelujah. Now I know, and you know, that one of the greatest causes of brokenness in homes is sexual morality. You know that. And when I say this straight away, some of you have your defenses already up. Others are here, and just the mentioning of sexual purity, you feel uneasy because there's a bit of shame, there's a bit of guilt, and you may want to close me out. Let me encourage you, keep your heart open, because this message is not from me to bash you down. This message is a love message from God so that you and your family would enjoy the blessedness of your family. And to just bring us all to the same place, when God created man in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, 27, 26, 27, 28, the Bible says he made human beings male and female, and he blessed them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So basically, God is the author, the creator of what? Sex. He's the creator of your sexuality. That's what he is. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the account of God creating man. And he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So he created a helper suitable for him. Whom did he bring? Eve. And Eve was a woman. Hallelujah. It's very important nowadays to state some of those things. Very important. Eve was a woman. Adam was a man. Very important to state some of those things nowadays. And when God brought Adam, Eve to Adam, the Bible says later on in Genesis 2 and 24 that God said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. As part of the process of becoming one flesh is the gift of sex that God gave to Adam and Eve, where they would both experience and express themselves, express their love as they grow in soul oneness, emotional oneness, physical oneness, and spiritual oneness. That is found in the whole aspect of becoming one. And sex is very central to the aspect of becoming one. And we shall see that as we carry along the way. Now, sex is holy. Hallelujah. Because moral sex is a covenant relationship founded on the character of God. And God is holy, therefore sex is holy. Hallelujah. As long as it's in the confines or the boundaries of a husband and wife, it is holy, it is pure, it is beautiful, it is perfect, and you can enjoy it anytime. Anytime. Because you see, holy sex is physically pleasurable. It is emotionally satisfying. It is psychologically fulfilling, and it is spiritually meaningful. In fact, when you're having sex in the Holy Sacrament, hallelujah, I use the word sacrament. When you're having the Holy Sacrament called sex, God is pleased with it. He looks down and says, yeah. James and his wife are doing it the right way. And he's excited and he's pleased with it. Praise the Lord. Now, I know the subject of sex is something people shy away from, so God help me. God help me. And you see, it's the very reason God says that you should not have sex outside the boundaries of a husband and wife called marriage. The reason you walk in moral sex, or that's not right. The reason you walk in sexual morality or sexual purity is that you might gird the beauty, that you might gird the sanctity, the purity, the blessedness, the gift that God has given to a husband and a wife. And that is why you walk in that purity. That's why you walk in holy sex or moral sex, whatever way you want to put it. Because God sees the beauty in there. And when you have moral sex, or holy sex for that matter, you have no guilt, you have no shame. You're confident. Even though someone says, I know what you did last night, it's all right. Because I have a license, right? It's blessed. But here's the unfortunate thing. Over the years, from the time that Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, and more specifically, I'll speak about the last 50 to 60 years. Sexual morality has been perverted. Sex has been abused. Sex, the sanctity and the purity of sex has been diverted. And it has had adverse effects on the lives of people. I came across an article that I decided to read out for you today. And I'm not going to just bring it off my head. I'm just going to read out an article that I came by. This is what the person says. Many of the most violent attacks on morality taking place today seem to be centered around questions of sexual morality. Though these attacks obviously concern sex, in one way or another, it is an attack on the family as the home of responsible sex between husband and wife. Every organized attack on sexual morality is in fact an assault on the family, for each is an attempt to either sever the bonds of between husband and wife, or parents and children, or to prevent a family from being established in the first place by poisoning the relations of the unmarried and the married, encouraging promiscuity, pornography, homosexual conduct, or the distrust between the sexes that feminism promotes. So every attack on sexual morality, at the very core of it, really is the family. It's that individual. If they can destroy the individual in the family, then they have destroyed the family. I mean, I agree with everything that's written in there. And when you look around now, look at the media, look at the television, look at the movies, look at everything, the literature we read, sex outside marriage is being glorified and being portrayed as something that everyone should look forward to. In fact, it portrays marriage as a dull, joyless, boring, meaningless relationship. And because of those things they're portraying and the agendas they're pushing, people have begun to believe things that are not true. People have begun to walk in their attitudes towards sex that are affecting our lives and are affecting the lives of many. Some of the wrong attitudes are all going to go up on the screen. Some of the wrong attitudes are, this is my body, so I can do with it whatever I please. People say things like sex is just physical. It has no other consequences. People say things like this: as long as it's between two consenting adults, then it's okay. In fact, I read an article where they are pushing a government to stop policing sex. You will read things like, hey, we are in love, so we're engaged, so let's have sex. I came across a comment that to this day disturbed my spirit, and a woman said this: as long as my husband does not catch a disease or get a child outside of wedlock, it's okay for him to go on and cheat because I cannot fulfill all his needs. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I can go on and mention so many different mindsets, but I'll just stop there for a moment. You perhaps have some that you have in your head that you need to cross-check right now. And you see, every one of these mindsets is really trying to push people towards a place where sex is just a normal thing. Rather, sex outside marriage is something that's just normal. I came across an article a couple of years ago newspaper articles, and I'll mention it. It's called Straight Talk, many years ago. And they told a young man who was struggling with all these things, and this is what the one who responded said is, it's okay for you to masturbate if you cannot handle it. You see, the thing is this: the world is not telling you the consequences behind sex outside marriage. The world is not telling you the consequence that you will go through when you have sex outside the standard of God. In fact, there's a scripture in the Bible in Proverbs chapter 9. It should be going up on the screen for a moment. It says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is what? It's true. You will enjoy the sex outside marriage. Outside God's standard. It's fun. But the next line then says this: little do they know that the dead are there. If you read Proverbs 9, it's about a warning to the young man not to stray away with the adulterous woman. That's where it's coming from. And so stolen water, in other words, yeah. I mean, you're having it now, you're not married, or you're having it outside marriage, and it feels good, and yeah. But what you do not know is that at the end of that road is destruction. Elsewhere in the scriptures it says, sin in the moment is pleasurable, but at the end it leads to death. And I want you to recognize something. Sex is not just sex. It has a far outreaching effect when it's outside the confines of God's standard. Let me see if I can give you a couple of them. One of the consequences, the negative consequences about sex outside marriage is what we call ungodly soul ties. If you've heard about a soul tie is a spiritual bonding where one person's spirit and soul is bound to another's spirit and soul as a result of sex, or maybe a pledge that they have between the two of them. That's a soul tie. Now, if you are married, then you have a godly soul tie. But if you're not married, then you have an ungodly soul tie. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 puts it this way: do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. You see, the thing about sex is not just your body. Sex has the effect in your spirit, in your soul, and with your body. Sex is that glue. And you cannot be, when you glue something and try to split it up, what happens? Pieces of you go, or pieces of that thing go, whichever direction. And this is the thing about soul ties and affecting our families, is this, that, let me begin this way. When you have sex before marriage, with different people, even with the very person that you have sex with, I'm going to get to that in a very short while. When you have sex before marriage and you have all these people having sex with, you're binding your spirit and your soul with many different people. So when you get married, the greatest likelihood is this: you will always have an attachment on your exes. I have heard and I have read where people say, Pastor, I broke up with this guy 10 years ago, but recently he showed up. What should I do? You broke up, move on. But what happens is this. Yes, true. You broke up, you move on, but you're failing to move on because there is a soul tie. There are people who begin to compare their husband or wife with their exes. He used to or she used to. And because of that, you will never be fulfilled in your marriage because you're always thinking about an ex. You never open totally because you're thinking about an ex. You are bound. When you're married and you go outside of your marriage, what you're really doing is you may have been pure sexually to the point that you got married and into your marriage, but the day that you go out of your marriage and have sex with somebody outside of your marriage, guess what you're doing? You're inviting a third person or a fourth person or whatever number of people into your relationship, and because now your spirits are crowded, you never give yourself wholly to the person that you have. It affects you. But the other thing also about soul ties is that soul ties can open you up to demonic oppression, demonic possession. We can even just camp on this subject for a whole 2 hours. But I hope you're checking your life. God wants you to walk into that relationship or be in that marriage relationship, be in that family, soul tie free from everybody else except the one you're married to. Are we together on this one? Just throw up the second point for me, please. The second point is this: you will struggle with guilt, shame, and disgrace. You struggle with guilt, shame, and disgrace. I, because of my role as a pastor, I've had to be in the lives of many people. And one of the things that many people struggle with when they fail sexually is guilt and shame. They can't even lift up their eyes to look at you. You do. You struggle with it. You can't walk or move anywhere and begin to freely speak about your life because you have this thing hanging over you, this thing pulling you back, guilt, shame. And the thing about guilt and shame is that if you don't deal with it, it can lead to depression. And because you're depressed, you don't want to be around people. And because you don't want to be around people, guess what? Your family suffers your absence. People lock themselves up, people leave home, people move to different places, all because of the guilt and the shame that came or comes with sexual immorality. And some of you are struggling with that here today. I have good news for you, really. At the end of the day, Jesus can set you free. Amen? He can set you free. The other negative thing that sex outside marriage, outside God's standard, outside marriage does is that it can actually lead to more sin. Because you want to cover the guilt and the shame, you probably will tell a lie. And when you tell that lie, you have to cook up a lie to cover the lie that you told the last time. I'll never forget someone who said this, that when you tell a lie, you have to remember the lie you told so that you can tell a lie to cover the lie. But when you tell the truth, you don't even remember what you said because you told the truth. And when lies come into the picture, then guess what? There's no trust. And where there's no trust, there's no health in the relationship. Because you want to cover up maybe an unwanted pregnancy Nowadays, with the option of abortion, people are aborting, and what is that? Sin. You're killing another human being. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. Abortion is murder. Now, I know as I say these things, some of you have experienced this, and it weighs on you. I'm not saying this to beat you down. But I want you to know this. You can walk a life of sexual purity and not carry this guilt and no longer walk in this sin. Just throw up the rhythm for me, please. It can lead to divorce. Now, many people, when we talk about divorce, we think it's just between the husband and the wife. But divorce affects more than the husband and the wife. It affects children. It affects relatives. Two families that came together are now broken. There are families that don't even see eye to eye because of divorce. You no longer can go to your in-laws, or you can no longer be in the place where your children are because, guess what? You broke up with their mother, or their mother broke up with you. You're no longer wanted. I mean, and there's chaos, there's pain, there's hurt, there's a bruising that takes place, there's a brokenness. Your children grow up without the visibility of mom and dad in the home. The other one really is that you could easily get a disease and die. You know the reason why we have Watoto Child Care Ministries? It started as a result of the scourge of HIV and AIDS. And that is why we have orphans, a great number of orphans. AIDS took the lives of fathers, of husbands who were not able to control themselves. The world is not telling us these things. Or maybe you're here and even ignoring these things. I hope today by the Spirit of God you can awake to this. And then lastly, it ultimately destroys your relationship with God. It does. Isaiah says this, it is your sin that have caused his face to turn away from you. Malachi says this, the Lord was not answering their prayer because the husbands were being unfaithful to their wives. It broke their relationship with God. Well, I know this is heavy, but if you will flip your life and walk in sexual purity, and allow your family to walk in the place of sexual purity, then you will build trust in your home. A husband can be able to travel miles and miles away, and the wife will sleep comfortably knowing, no, I know my husband is faithful. A wife can be able to stay home and be amongst people and other men, and the husband is secure within himself. I have a friend who once, he's a really good guy, and someone approached his wife and said, hey man, I love your husband. A woman told to the guy's wife, I love your husband. The wife said, thank you. I really love your husband. She said, thank you so much. Woman, don't you hear I'm saying I love your husband? I said, yeah, thank you. And she's like, how comes you're not moved? Well, because I trust my husband. I thought, wow. But it brings security and stability to a home. Proverbs puts it this way. If you could put a Proverbs for me, it says this. Proverbs 10, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Now, whoever walks in sexual purity will walk securely. You don't have to walk around saying, is there anyone? You don't come out of the neighborhood and you're ducking in guazi, like, you know, no. You don't. You're secure. Hallelujah. Because you're not being found in dark corners with people who are not your wife or husband. So you're secure. Hallelujah. It promotes unity in a family. And the Bible says where there is unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Psalm 133 verse 1 and verse 2. Says this, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. In verse 3 then says this, for there the Lord has commanded a blessing. So let me say, It doesn't even say commands. I think some said commands, but it says commanded. In other words, he has already decreed, as long as you move in unity, blessing will follow you. That's what he's saying. So as families that are walking in sexual purity, it will bring along unity and the blessing of God. And I love the last one. Your children will walk in the blessing of God. Listen to what it says in Proverbs. If you will put it up for me, please. It says, the righteous walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Hopefully it goes up. But that's what it says. The righteous, thank you very much. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he will make... Thank you very much. But that's what it says. It says, the righteous walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Hallelujah. Do you want to see that your children's children walk in the blessing of God? It begins now with walking in integrity. And today I speak about sexual purity. Friends, God wants all this I am telling you to be a part of your life. He wants this to be a part of your life. He wants this to be a part of your life. He's not withholding. He's not telling you don't. He's not telling you to withhold from sex so that he tortures you. No. He's telling you to do it the right way so that these blessings come your way. Hallelujah. I said this in the beginning. You need to listen to this because God loves you. God loves you. And so this is what the Bible says about sexual purity. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, all the way down. I'm going to read through this and just summarize this for you a bit. This is what it says. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live. The next phrase is very important. In order to please who? God. As in fact, you are living. Now, we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. In other words, continue in this thing we're talking about. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified and in this regard, abstain from sexual immorality. Abstain. Don't even go near it. That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who did not know God. In other words, he's speaking to believers. I'm speaking to you who's come to church today. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. If you are a... So this is the thing that bothers my heart so much. People are looking up to you to help them in their walk, and instead you're abusing them sexually. You're reaching out to a non-believer, and instead of helping them walk for Jesus and walk with Jesus, guess what we're doing? We are luring them to bed. In fact, I said, God help me. There are people who are now using spiritual jargons to cause people to have sex with them. You go to some of these places. Your body does not sin, so whatever you do with your body is okay. It is your spirit that is clean. Your body does not need... That's a lie. They just want to use your body and abuse you. The Bible continues to say this. The Lord will punish men. There's a penalty, guys. there's a penalty for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. Listen to this, verse 7. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Listen, this instruction is not from the Lobo James or from the pastors of Ototo Church. This instruction is from the Word of God, from the very heart of Jesus himself. So as I just wind this down for you, what must you and I do? What must you and your family do if you're going to walk in sexual purity? The very first thing is change your attitude or change your beliefs. Change your beliefs. Change your beliefs. Scripture says this is the will of God for you. You need to come to the place where you believe that the will of God is for you to walk in sexual purity. You need to come to the place where you believe that God has called you to live a life that is holy and pure. You need to come to the place where you believe that God's word is true and he has the best interests for you. You need to come to the place where you stop listening to what the world says concerning sex and listen to what the Bible says concerning sex. You need to come to the place where you have believed that it is indeed God's will for me to keep myself for the person that I am married to or I will be married to. Change your beliefs. When you change your beliefs, it changes your attitude and ultimately changes your actions. Scripture says in Ephesians, let go of your old self and put on the new man. Let go of your old thinking and put on the new thinking. I came across a story of this lady who, before meeting Christ, she had been engaging in sex and all manners of, you know, sex. Illicit, some of them. And so she gets born again and she gets married to a guy who had never had sex. And so she tries to do some of the things that they did. Now, I won't mention them. But she tried to do some of the things that they did. And this guy said, look, wait a minute, what are you trying to do? He says, I do not want that. I was like, but every guy likes this thing. Says, I'm not every guy. I am me. I do not want this. You know what needed to happen? She needed to clean her mindset. Check your mindset. Are we together on this one? Number two. One is do one. One is do what? Change your beliefs. Number two, apply self-control. So I come across a story of a Christian author who himself had written a couple of books on the family. And in this interview, he told the panelists or the people interviewing him, said he always bragged to his friends that if there is a sin that he would never commit, it would be adultery. Why? Because I love my wife so much, and that's the last thing I'd ever do to her. Well, unfortunately, he actually fell to sexual sin. And at the end of the interview, this is what he said. He has come to learn this, that an unguarded strength is a double weakness. And an unguarded strength is a double weakness. Just when you think you're really strong is when you should protect yourself even more. Let him who thinks he stands be careful lest he does what? Falls. And applying self-control means things like set boundaries. The writer of the proverb says this, that a man who lacks self-control is like a city without walls. So apply boundaries. Be accountable to somebody.
Hallelujah.
Brian, are there guys in church? Hallelujah. All right. Don't ask things like how far is too far. I always tell people this thing. The moment you say how far is too far, you're already too far. But then thirdly, To the married people here, I want to say this. Enjoy the gift of sex. I should have had stronger amens from the married, but let's keep that for now. For now, enjoy the gift of what? What that simply means is this. God has given you the gift. Meet each other's sexual needs. 1 Corinthians 7 says this, that a husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and a wife should fulfill her husband's sexual needs, for she has given authority of her body over to her husband, and the husband has given over his authority of his body to his wife. Well, I mean, in other words, this is how I come at it. You must pre-think how you're going to make your wife happy. You must pre-think how you're going to make your husband happy. Hallelujah. When you're thinking about your husband and wife or your wife, you're not sinning. True, Calvin? You're not sinning. You see, men, it's not just about give me climax. Give me climax. Look, your wife also has a need. Take your time. I said, so help me God. But you hear me? If you're married, don't use sex as a tool to get things or to punish. You hear what I'm saying? O'Brien. So guys, I hope you hear my heartbeat. Enjoy it if you're married. Hallelujah. Enjoy it. God, you're so good. By the way, do you know that when you're having sex, you're literally worshiping God? Actually, when you're done, you say, hallelujah, glory to Jesus. You can't say hallelujah, glory to Jesus when it's outside. Let me carry on. Fourthly, honor God with your body, really. And this is really going to be my concluding point to you. Honor God with your body. Please throw up 1 Corinthians for me, please, if you would. Honor God with your body. 19 to 20 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Ultimately, sexual purity is for the glory of Jesus. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, we read, he said, let each one learn to control his body in a way that is honorable to who? God. Ultimately, sexual purity is for the glory of Jesus. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that I just read right now, your body, when you're in Jesus, your body no longer belongs to you. It belongs to God. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus paid such a great price for your salvation. He paid such a great price that you might walk free from the power of sin. And as I speak today, I'm going to focus this that you might be free from the power of sexual immorality. Your freedom is so that you might enjoy the full blessing of God. Would you make a choice today to turn to Jesus and offer your body unto Him as a living sacrifice? Would you turn to Jesus today because He paid a price for you? Friends, the truth of the matter is, on your own, it's very difficult to walk in sexual purity. That is why we need Jesus. The Apostle Paul said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to turn to Jesus. We need to turn to Jesus. Honor God with your body. Amen. Pastor Brian.